you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
No, you haven't said.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
I'm Corinne Fisher,
and I'm your fuck your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes. Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Greetings, fuckers. How you doing? Where you been? You good? Drink water. Stay hydrated. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to the show. If you want to send us an email, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. And this is coming out before New Year's, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So New Year's Eve, come see Christina and myself and Ryan Long, Chloe LaBranch, John Campanelli, Justin Silver at New York Comedy Club East Village location. It's a 6 p.m. show. It is, let me tell you, I do this show pretty much every year as long as I'm in town. It's the best way to start your New Year's Eve. It's 6 p.m. You got to get ready early anyway because night's over at midnight. Okay. And you go, you see a comedy show, which is like a staple for New Year's Eve, best night for comedy. And then you go, you drink with your friends, you watch the ball drop, and you start the year off right. So ticket link is available on the New York Comedy Club East Village website. It's also available in the link in my bio, the Linktree link in my bio, oh my Philanthropy God, Gal. So buy a ticket to that. The show was so fun last year. You seriously don't want to miss it. If you want to email us again, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Today's subject line is my partner is depressed and it's so annoying.
So annoying.
I think we've all been there though. I know Christina's been there.
For 7 years.
I've been there.
It fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Have I been there?
I said I've been there and then I looked at you, but yes.
And the man just thought you were asking him a question.
No, Corinne looked.
Have you been there or have you been the partner who was depressed and annoying?
I have been the depressed and annoying partner. That's what I was going to say. One of my ex-girlfriends write that in?
Oh, damn. Mm. Yeah. Hello, C and K. I'm an OG fucker and I'm proud to have been with you for the ride. I'm 39 and I've been with my partner for 12 years. Well, that's going to get depressing anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's the problem.
Yeah.
You're together too long.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sure it's beautiful and like your friend, you know, you have a great friendship, but
you got to see him every day.
We have gone through so much growth together and we have a loving and great relationship. I've never felt seen more by my partner and we have a fantastic sex life.
Wow.
I hope so. When we get to enjoy it, that is. I knew there was be some qualifier.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because we have two little kids together. My partner and I are both self-employed artists. We work from home and live in a small town because it's what we can afford. This year has been so hard on artists and many small business owners financially. And I see this weighing down my partner who feels societal pressures on being a father to provide for his family. Along with parent parenting two small kids nonstop, mountains of laundry, running a small business and trying to survive. When life hurls lemons at me, I still try to see the joy and beauty in everyday life. I take care of myself well, take care of my mind and body, and make time for my own needs.
Good.
I try to encourage my partner to do the same, but it always ends in a fight.
Mm.
I try to explain to him what I have learned being a mother, that if you don't take care of yourself, when life throws shit at you, you can't handle it because you haven't met your needs first. Very true.
Very true.
He obviously won't listen and is comfortable being stressed out and depressed. I can't stand it anymore. I try to be understanding, but it's like he is walking around constantly in a dark cloud. And it's also like you guys have a very similar lifestyle. So it's like, how come you can somehow handle it and he can't?
Yeah.
That's why I love that.
Yeah. And you birthed the fucking kids.
Yeah.
And it's he didn't even have to carry them.
Listen, he could be father of the year. The mom's still doing more work. There's pretty much no. Like the only time the mom's not doing more work is when she's like strung out on drugs and leaves the family entirely. You know, otherwise,
get that vacation, girl. Right? You deserve it.
Yeah, she needed to do heroin to take a break. Bringing the energy of our small home to a bad place. I'm sure you get what I'm talking about. It's just very hard to be around. I have for years been watching him take less care of himself mentally and physically. And while I try to be compassionate, I'm tired of fucking a fat fuck. Okay, she didn't write that, but I filled that in for her. I'm so tired of the gloom and fucking doom. Yes, yes, yes. As people who deal so much with me, comedians, we could not understand you more. Listen, I get sad a lot, but I really try not to make like bring the fucking gloom and doom. It sucks. I don't want to leave him, but I need some advice. I don't want to leave him. Jesus, I hope he doesn't listen to this show. I don't want to leave him, but I need some advice. I'm sure as artists yourselves, and from what I've heard on the podcast, you both might have some advice for me on how to handle loving a depressed person who won't help themselves with a warm heart and gratitude. The listener, who obviously we're not saying.
I mean, look, I know you're in it to win it and you got kids together, but I'm a big fan of an ultimatum in this circumstance if you won't fucking listen.
Yeah.
You've tried to have the conversation and given loving advice and be patient and kind. And that's absolutely the first step.
Yeah.
You know, especially if the person has depression, you don't know. Maybe you don't know the depths of their own depression. Right. So you want to be gentle and loving. He's your partner. But then after a while.
Too gentle.
Yeah. Everybody's got their own approach. But after a while, yeah, because gentle could be seen as coddling and enabling. If this shit keeps up and he's not doing anything about it, you can't. That is such a pussy dryer. If you are mentally ill and you have struggled with depression and you are not doing anything about it, or at least taking the advice of your loving partner who's trying to help you and like help you, like, here, let's sit down together and find a therapist or something if it had to have gotten to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, dude.
Or how about something like, I don't know if like his parents are still alive or whatever, but like I would be like, you're going to go to your parents' house for 1 month. And when you come back, you're going to have your shit fucking together or I am leaving.
Yeah. I think an ultimatum is the only thing to get his ass in gear.
Yeah, sometimes stepping away from the situation, I think, is like helpful. And listen, like, I can't imagine like being in the same situation for 12 years, like the same people, the same house, whatever. And then like sometimes like stepping away, putting things into perspective and just having like, you know, the time to handle just you. And like, hopefully he would be able to give you the same courtesy in the future, right? If you needed that.
Yes.
But I think that could be helpful. There's a lot of like, you know, influencers online, momfluencers, dad influencers, who will do things like, you know, go take themselves, you know, the one parent will go to a hotel for a weekend and have this
sounds awesome.
Of like staycation thing. And I think that's so helpful. And I understand that you guys are in a different financial position. I mean, like go to a Motel 6 for a weekend.
Yeah. Then you'll appreciate your house.
Right.
You know? That's true.
And then also, I mean, there's a lot of things that you listed in this article. And like, small town and city have different amenities, but you know, I'm a big, this is something I've been doing since I was broke. So this is not some like, you know, money advice, but I would really look into see if there's a local laundromat that offers per pound laundry. Cause you just like mentioned piles of laundry and I can only imagine the amount of laundry if you also have small children.
So stressful.
I think people don't realize how cheap you can get someone to do your laundry for you and how much time it will save you. I once read an article when I was like really broke and stressed out about, you know, putting value on your time and that the amount of time it takes to do laundry is not literally not worth one's time.
That comes back folded.
Yeah. I would look into something like that just to ease your load a little bit. You know, and then, you know, reciprocally support a small business in your town. Again, that's more of like a city amenity. So I don't know that it exists in your small town, but you could actually have like a really good price on that.
Yeah.
Just I think to give yourself less
work.
That is a fantastic idea to have him go stay with his parents or go stay with a friend or go stay with somebody else who's not fucking me.
Basically where it's free that he can leave.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he'll be in the company of a fucking friend. And a lot of times friends can help you get out of your depression by just talking about dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to talk about the depression. But in addition to it being an absolute pussy dryer, when somebody is moping around and not doing anything about it, because it is very possible to be depressed and to be a good partner and to have depression and to be a good parent. So not only is it going to hinder like your sex life majorly, I can't imagine that it won't. Your children are picking up that their father is depressed, right? And there's no way that they don't know, that they don't feel that energy from him. So that's going to fuck them up too. So if you need something to give you a sense of immediacy, I would have them in mind.
And also, like, men are so preoccupied with, like, how society sees them and you're not being the provider. Meanwhile, they're perfectly comfortable walking around the house, making themselves completely unfuckable with their actions.
It's a great point.
It's just, like, who's the person who has to deal with you for the rest of their life? It's your wife or your, you know, or your
partner.
Your female partner. Like, what?
And your kids, yeah.
It's like, oh, if you're so concerned with other people, what other people think of you, why don't you be concerned with the fact that your behavior right now and the way that you're not taking care of yourself mentally and physically, especially when it comes to heterosexual relationships. I really don't have a lot of grace for men because of how they are so hard on us with, for, you know,
every goddamn thing. Yeah, yeah.
For how we look. Can you imagine if like a woman just let herself go physically in this manner?
We'd all be single.
Or was just like in bed, depressed.
We'd all be gay.
And we were like, oh, I can't make the kids dinner tonight. Can you imagine how quickly we would get booted? We would get replaced. We would get cheated on. Can you fucking imagine?
If a woman just grew a pot belly, stopped shaving all of her body hair. No makeup,
no
fucking greasy ass, fat ass, whatever, like gluttonous.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The men would run for the fucking hills.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's also like you're both artists. You're both in a very similar boat here. Like, why is his boat sinking and yours is somehow staying afloat?
Yeah. And there's so many things that he could do for his depression immediately that are free. Running, jogging.
Yes.
Walking.
Sad boy
jogging.
Walks.
Yes. There you go.
Well, because Esther Pavitsky does sad girl walk, so
it does change your whole mindset,
just
I gotta say.
Literally getting your fucking pants on and walking around the block, it makes a world of difference.
Look, I don't mean to brag, but I'm a runner now. I fucking get up at 7 a.m.
Running is great.
And I go running.
Yeah.
And I never thought, I was like, now I'm a rollerblade girl because it's so fun and running isn't fun. And I thought this elusive runner's high would always escape me because of the times I did run, I didn't feel it. But I got to say, waking up in the morning and going running and pushing yourself and getting that much oxygen to your brain is going to be an instant boost to your mental health. So it's like something so free and so easy and just at his disposal is that he could do.
Get him a little calendar. It takes 30 days to start a pattern, to start a new pattern. Get him a little calendar and a little pen and he can mark 30 days. Get him a little star sticker every day. Just this constant like need to treat men like babies and then us having to fucking get through the things ourselves while supporting our male partners. I'm done with it. It's out for 2024.
It's a lot of work that we ain't getting paid for.
It's
and
out.
At least pay us back by fucking taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you pay a woman back in a straight relationship.
Make a meal.
You take care of yourself and you're present in the relationship and you're your best self.
Yeah.
Fucking. Oh, God. I'm getting PTSD from Steven.
Yeah.
That was so awful.
Yeah.
And it took me 7 years to lose the attraction, which is like, that says something. But my God. Oh, once you're over it, once you turn that corner, you're like, oh, wait, this blows. It's like every time he talks, it's like nails through your eyes.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm like, he has to move fast because I don't want you to get the ick. Because once you get the ick, very hard to undo that.
Yeah.
Almost
yeah.
impossible, some would say.
You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Guys, come see us live. You heard it at the top of the show, but New Year's Eve, baby. New York Comedy Club, East Village. It's going to be the night of your life. February 1st, these are our together dates. February 1st, New York City is our first midnight theater show.
The MasterCard midnight theater.
I'm sorry, the MasterCard that's accepted. Not that
it's so weird when a corporation takes over because then we're just like the MasterCard every swipe.
The midnight theater. Sorry.
Swipe your way through the door for a night of fantastic.
Yeah, the midnight theater. We take MasterCard. Ooh, that's kind of rare. So our first Guys We Fucked Live of 2024 is February 1st. And then if you find yourself in Los Angeles on Valentine's Day,
yeah.
Well, God damn it, you're in luck because wow. Corinne Fisher and myself, Christina Hutchinson, are co-headlining the main room at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles. And it's going to be, I mean, these shows are going to be epic. Okay. Yeah. And talk to anybody who fucking live streamed our last midnight theater show or was there in person. They can't stop talking about it. I'm still getting DMs.
And right? They're rare. We just don't do Guys We Fuck Live a lot. So like the fact that we've been doing it, every now and then at the MasterCard Midnight Theater, the Comedy Store, we haven't done together in a long, long time.
Yes.
So these are special events, people.
They're very special.
Special events.
And then more special events. I am solo headlining New Brunswick, New Jersey at the Stress Factory, January 4th through 6th. Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey, February 9th through 10th at Bananas. And 9th and 10th, rather. And Springfield, Missouri, March 22nd and 23rd. I'm doing the Blue Room. And as always, I have a Patreon where four times a month you can do group therapy with me over Zoom and a bunch of fantastic people. I just did it today at the studio and it was one of the best ones yet. And the audio from every group therapy gets uploaded to the Patreon. So if you can't make it, you can hear the conversation. Sign up today at patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. And then my solo podcast, The Voices in Our Heads, comes out every single Monday. Today, you're listening to this on Friday, but this Monday I interviewed my good friend Ollie Problemas, who was in town for a week, and we had a good time and we ran. And then I read a book, How We Live is How We Die by Pema Chodron. And I read a chapter about the actual physical dying process and what happens. And we had a good conversation about it.
And then for me, you can check out my solo podcast, Without a Country. That's been blowing up lately because of your guys' support. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We cover the news, but, you know, I rant and rave. There's comedic elements. We interview non-comic people, journalists. We talk about ethics in journalism. We talk about AI. We're getting heavy into the 2024 campaign. We've covered Palestine and Israel at length. We watch documentaries and do reviews on them. I mean, like, you know, ones that like about social issues and stuff. So It's been super fun this year. Thank you for everyone who's supported the show and talked about it. You can see that every Wednesday night on YouTube, or you can just listen to the audio wherever you listen to podcasts. And then 2024 dates, I'll have more of them. I have an idea of the cities I'm going to, but I don't have the dates yet. But the one ticket link I do have available is for Washington, D.C., D.C. Comedy Loft. That's February 29th through March 2nd. That's going to be super fun. And then, of course, we'll get some more gas shows at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles in 2024. I'll have dates for you soon, but you can follow that on Instagram at gash slasher comedy. That's my horror movie themed stand up comedy show that has been super fun. Yay. All right.
I've been thinking about something. It kind of has to do with this email we read, actually. It's, you know, one of those societal things that we always say.
Yes.
And then every once in a while, we stop and pause and think, is that actually true?
Oh.
You know, like the phrase, boys will be boys.
Right.
That was a very accepted phrase for a long time.
I have a shirt that literally says boys will be boys. And then the second boys is crossed out and it says held accountable.
Yeah.
I like to wear it to the gym and let people make eye contact.
Yeah. I see you, sir. But one of those kind of isms or whatever that always floats around that people use as an I'm like, is this being used as an excuse for poor behavior?
Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Boys mature faster, or girls mature faster than boys.
Yeah, because we're forced to, because we're men aren't pulling their weight.
But yes, exactly. I'm like, I don't think that's actually true. Now, I'll have you know, did not look it up in terms of medical hormone. I don't, but I'm like, what the fuck? What hormone do women get that men don't? We all have the same hormones, by the way, just different levels
of
them.
No, it's the pressures of society. I doubt it's anything biological.
Yeah.
It's so, like, society forces you.
This whole time, though, I thought it was some biological thing.
No. There's no way. There's
right?
no way.
Exactly.
No.
This is
nurture, not nature, right. for sure. But it's not nurture. It's abuse.
Yes. And, yes. And you know who has to deal with it? Straight women. Yeah. Fuck that shit.
Yes.
We gotta get rid of that phrase. That boys don't mature as fast as girls. That's because we don't allow them to. Like, let's go.
True. Yeah.
Let's go, gentlemen.
There's variables too. I mean, I think, like, you know, each person, you know, each individual is unique. So it depends. Like, I think if you're a younger child or an older child, like where you are born in your family. I think older only children have a lot of weight on them. Yeah. For sure.
That's true.
Older children definitely have extra weight on them. So it depends, like, where you are in the family, how your parents, you know, treated you. You know, I think there are some men who have matured, like if like the father of the family died, for instance, I think then sometimes like a male child will have to have a lot of responsibility early.
But that's what's got to happen. A Lion King plot to get him to fucking mature.
Yes, I would think
so. What the fuck is that about? I feel like we should. Not 69 it, 68 it. What's the word in restaurant world?
86
it. Yeah. I'm thinking, yeah.
We should 69 it. Try to say, yeah, Chris, do that, Christina. Go work in a restaurant.
We should 69 the mature boys.
The mashed potatoes. Like, okay. No,
we gotta 86 that phrase because that's completely one of those phrases that allows people to just carry on because they're fucking coddled and to make everybody else think that it's somebody. I never really thought about it until recently, but I'm like, I assumed it was biological.
There's no, I mean, again, I haven't looked it up.
There's no reason. There's no way.
Mike, if you want to find anything to dispute this, please let us know.
Let me check psychology today.
If we could all figure out.
Why are you giggling when you said psychology today? Like it's a fake thing.
No, I'm just like, I don't know. how fast could I find all these studies on? I'll look.
Come on, be mature, Michael. But yeah, I feel like, you know, girls and women, yeah, you're girls still. In middle school and high school, like when I was 17, I was a fucking around with a bunch of 25-year-olds at one point. But because it's like, because this whole like notion of like girls mature faster than boys is all I fucking heard. And I truly was not attracted to boys my age. There was one guy, Paul, Shout out.
No, that you were around 25-year-olds because they were losers, but you didn't know because you were 15. Yeah. And so no 25-year-old women wanted to be around them because they were fucking like fucking losers, pothead losers.
Yeah, for sure. But like that is an idea that I took with me all throughout my boy obsession career.
Yeah.
And kind of really took that to heart and thought like, but the way I interpreted it was, I didn't think about it this way at the time, but it's like, oh, so then you can't get mad at boys your age for being immature because you're more mature. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, it's because we've fucking been forced to.
Well, I think a good tactic, and I've used this sometimes in life, but it's like, if people around you aren't pulling your weight, if men around you aren't pulling their weight, just start phoning it in yourself. And listen, this was very hard to teach myself to do because you have to be comfortable allowing some things that you care about to fall apart a little bit to teach other people a lesson. And so this is very hard for me to do, but just like go on a vacation, like with your husband or your male partner and do exactly 50% of the planning, not more, and let the rest fall apart. And like it's hard because you have to let your anxiety reduce. Don't remind him to bring his passport. Don't remind him to pack all these things. And he will forget.
Oh, dude.
He will forget. And it will ruin your vacation too. So you have to be prepared to allow this, right? But then the thing is like, he's going to try to make it your problem. And then you can go, no, actually, you're an adult and I was treating you as such.
That's
right?
True. That's true.
Because women always get shit on for nagging. And this was something that, you know, I had to come to terms with. Because, you're like, I don't want to nag. Most women don't want to nag. It doesn't feel good.
No.
Like, it makes you go from, you know, mouth to nipple for sure. So what you just have to not nag. And then let the vacation or the thing that you're doing or the project you're working on absolutely fall apart.
Love that.
And then everyone learns the hard way.
I love that. And you know what?
It sucks for everyone.
I know, you know, we're very much trying to get away from a partner being like having a parent-child relationship, of course, right? Mm-hmm. But with children and with anybody, like when a child or person learns something the hard way, that's when it sticks.
Yep.
So if he forgets his passport and you're about to go to fucking Barbados, and you show up at the airport and your whole vacation is, you know, you can't make the flight. He will never, I guarantee you, he won't forget that motherfucking passport ever again.
Yeah. And it's just about you.
That's a great,
being
great
comfortable
idea.
With your
weight
thing being ruined.
Challenge for straight women. The holidays.
Straight woman challenge.
Straight women challenge. For the holidays, don't fucking do as much shit. Because women for the holidays, women all
unpaid labor.
Not that men don't help because they absolutely do, but like I feel like the woman is the one who's mostly
100%.
Making sure the table's set, making sure everything looks beautiful, making sure the decorations are nice.
That's
sure
why when you're a woman and you grow up, you go, oh, the holidays actually suck because I realized when I was a kid they were fucking amazing because my mom made them amazing.
Over here trimming the tree. Yeah,
my mom made them amazing. Listen, my dad did get on the roof and he made some Santa tracks, so that was bomb.
That's nice,
you know. But like, overall, it's like, who is doing all this stuff? Who is staying up late to, you know, nibble on cookies to make it look like Santa ate them? That's mom, not dad, most likely.
Yeah.
And again, this is not, I think like some people hear this and they're like, why are women always shitting on men? We're not really,
we're just actually
saying that we know you are capable of more. And so we know that you have the potential to do it. And we're just saying that we now expect that of you. So
men,
it's like, do you want us to sit around and think that you're incapable babies? I don't think you actually want that.
Scientifically, according to Newcastle University in England.
This is from menrule.com. Okay.
Yeah. No. Not only do girls mature faster than boys, scientists believe that their brains can develop up to 10 years earlier.
But mature, wait, what did you say mature? Do they mean physically mature? I think they mean physically, like we get boobs first.
Well, that is part of it. Yeah, that you guys hit puberty
like
1 to 2 years
mature.
Before.
I could see societally affecting, right? So like if we look like women before boys look like men, that's part of the reason society will change.
But it's also brain activity too.
But that's also a big problem with women of color, right? So this has been a conversation about how women of color are often sexualized because sometimes they tend to develop and like look appearance-wise like women, you know, before
so they
other
get traumatized
races.
Earlier.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. So there's
that'll
a lot of
variables.
There's always so many variables, but women get sexualized first, for sure.
That's true. Unless boys are around pedophiles.
So wait, our
a lot
brains are capable of more, but then why are men getting paid more in the workplace?
They're not capable of more. What happens is, so the study
faster.
From Newcastle, again, this is from Newcastle University. there is it's discovered that as the brain matures, it begins to remove neural connections that are stored, which it does not think are important. The connections in the brain that are not used regularly tend to shrink and evaporate due to lack of use, whereas the neural networks that are regularly engaged survive. This is called fire and wire, and it is an example of survival of the fittest among neural networks.
Right, but don't you think that our brains could be... exactly. I think our brains are developing faster because we're asked to handle more earlier.
Yes, I agree.
Backs up exactly our theory.
Like, I know a lot of men, and I know a lot of boys when I was in middle school and high school, and I remember them...
I know a lot of boys. Clip it.
I know a lot of boys. Some of them had really strict dads, and I saw it unfairly so. Like, their dad had, like, fucking PTSD from nom or some shit and didn't address it.
Right.
And their dad would just be similar to my mom, but, like, more strict, like, not a hot mess about it. And I watched them become more mature.
Yes.
Way more mature.
Yes.
Because they were being fucking traumatized by this father who was demanding they be a man at age 14. And they're like, I don't know what that means, dude. I'm 14. And it's like, but then I've also like, and not to say it's all on the father, but there are certain men that I've known in my life that have fathers that really make a point to nurture their son's sense of self. And I'm always amazed by what that produces in the boy who becomes the man, because it's always a beautiful thing.
Andy Haynes has a really good joke about that, because I have a joke about having a nice childhood. He does too, but it's kind of like from the perspective of someone with like a nurturing father.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see it in his personality.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. So yeah, that's all phony baloney, even though Newcastle does say scientifically.
But I think
wait, what's phony baloney?
The boys mature slower than girls, I think, is phony baloney in terms of like it's nurture. It's not nature.
Can be both. Nurture can influence nature.
Yeah,
nature can influence.
And I think that's what the article is saying, though, because what was it called? Fire or what? Like whatever.
Fire and wire.
Fire and wire makes sense to what we're talking about, right? It's like
reactionary.
It's like if you don't lose it. What is the saying? Like, use it or lose it?
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
You can't get PTSD unless something happens to you. And then all of a sudden it affects the way your neurons and all that stuff work.
Sure.
So this is almost in a roundabout way of saying that like women get PTSD younger.
Yeah.
Potentially.
I mean,
that could be like a version of this.
That checks out.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
So it's both.
Okay.
According to this paragraph that I found.
Well, straight women challenge. Okay.
Well, did you see that viral video that was going around this week? It was a husband and straight couple, and there are two young kids on Christmas morning, and the man is behind the camera, and he's going around to every stocking, and he's like, little Timmy got this, little Darla got this, I got this. And then they go to the wife's stocking, and then it's empty, and he's like, why is it empty? And then goes to the wife's face, and she's like, because no one got me anything, you know, like that. And there was like a disconnect that the husband, like, it's like, does the husband really think Santa came? Like, it's like, there's nothing in your wife's stocking because you didn't fucking put anything there.
She buy gifts for herself, boo.
Yeah, it's like, is she going to fill her own stocking? And that's kind of like, that right there is like a metaphor for like the straight female experience so often. We are expected to not only fill our own stockings, but fill everyone else's stockings.
Yes. Yes, what a great
The video is
metaphor.
Really sad. I watched a lot of commentary on it online too. It was fascinating.
That is it's a bummer. It's funny, but it is sad. I'm serious about this holiday challenge for straight women specifically, because, God, could you imagine being a lesbian during the holidays? Your fucking house would be so nice. Yeah. But because you got two people doing the work. But
right.
I'm curious, women with a male partner that you're going to spend the holidays together. Try as a challenge, as the Guys We Fuck Straight Women 2024 Holiday Challenge 2023, to not do as much as you normally do and see if any of it gets done and fucking film it and tag us in it.
Right.
You know?
And this is, there is a caveat. This is only for people where both the man and the woman are working. If you're a stay at home parent and you've agreed to that, the
different.
Home stuff is your job, then.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
You signed up for that.
Then,
but
yeah.
You know, if you have a relatively equal relationship in terms of like who pulls, you know, the labor.
But that's a problem, right? So I feel like, you know, women have progressed in, you know, and have done both the traditionally feminine and masculine roles. And men not only didn't progress as fast as women with doing the female roles, but they also stopped being able to do the male roles, like the heavy providing or protecting or those things, or like being able to put together a shelf or any of like carpentry work. It's like you're complaining about us being too masculine, but I feel like most women can still be masculine and feminine, when a lot of guys I know like have lost these masculine traits, but haven't gained the feminine ones that would make you like more empathetic or, and like, right. That's the issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gentlemen, if you're straight and you have a female partner.
Yeah, because men will be like, well,
give her the gift of helping this holiday season.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's like, okay. Well, men provide, but it's like, well, if you're both bringing money to the house, then you both need to be doing the things that make the holidays special.
Yes. The heavy lifting physically and emotionally. Okay. Guys, you fuck 2023 straight woman holiday challenge. Let's see what we get. Maybe the results won't be as like my brain is already predicting that they will be.
Oh,
who knows?
It's going to be a shit show.
I
want to
see videos.
Year.
I want to see photos
of everyone crying on Christmas morning.
Yeah, of the table not being set, or whatever, the fucking cake not being made because you didn't make it.
That's so
whatever
funny.
The fuck. You know what I mean? I feel like the holidays, like the man mainly, he's like, he'll wake up out of his beer football coma to carve the turkey and then go back to his beer football coma. But I'm like, let's make the men do other things. But not make them do it. You don't do it. And see if they step up.
Exactly.
Maybe they will. Maybe they will.
Fuck, man.
Miracles can happen, okay?
Okay.
Guys, speaking of miracles, our guest, she's a miracle. Because we're all miracles, you know? You can only get pregnant a certain amount of days out of the month. All right, guys. Our guest, she is a certified dating coach, a regular cast member of the Drew Barrymore Show, a frequent contributor to NPR, Washington Post, LA Times, Access Hollywood. Her podcast, Dates and Mates, was named Podcast of the Year at the Black Podcasting Awards in 2022. And her first book is coming out January 2nd. It's called F the Fairy Tale. We are very excited for you to hear Damona Hoffman.
People are not good to each other. I suppose they never will be. I didn't ask them to be. But sometimes I think about it. The beads will swing, the clouds will cloud. And the killer will behead the child, like taking a bite out of an ice cream cone.
You're staring at my face. My talent is my smile. My eyes are shooting blanks, low. My posture is a lie. I'm an indoor kid, man. The earth is so cold, and I'd rather fry under Edison and neon, and beat the shit out of my Casio.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
All right, guys, we are here with Damona Hoffman. Very
Hello.
Excited to have you.
Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here, but also there.
Ah, I love it. I'm so glad to be here. I love your show.
Thank you. Yes, we were talking before we started recording, and we discovered you through Dan Savage, who we admire greatly and trust his opinion so much. And I think we're excited to talk about dating, right? Because you are a dating coach. Can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to choose that as an occupation? Did something traumatic happen? Like, what's the origin story?
Yeah, all of the above. The origin story, for real, is I actually used to be a casting director in TV. And I took classes for actors in marketing and how to have headshots that would stand out and tell their story and do all the things that casting directors needed them to do in, you know, 10 seconds or less. And I realized the similarity when I was online dating between the headshot and the profile photo and the first date and the audition. So when I applied what I learned professionally to my personal dating experience, it worked. So I met my husband online, and then I started writing profiles for originally just friends and family, just for fun. And eventually it took off, and we all know how popular online dating has become today. So I guess I was a little bit in the right place in the right time 17 years later.
Yes. And you have a very grounded energy, which I don't usually get from dating coaches that we've come across, to be honest. Like, you're very grounded and like, I trust you immediately. Like, you, I feel like, your energy is just great. And my first question that popped into my head with regards to online dating, and you might not be able to give an answer to this, but maybe you have some theories. Why don't straight men know what they look like in photos?
You know, that was actually what got me into this originally, because I was like, guys have no idea.
They don't know.
You know, I really, the grounded answer is women are taught from a young age to groom and present, and guys just don't get that same education. So initially I started out as a coach only for guys, because I was like, you guys need a mirror here. And not your bathroom selfie mirror, like an actual mirror to show you what this really looks like. And I take a very strategic approach to designing a dating profile. And men really do respond to that, but they just don't on their own necessarily know which photos to pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you come across a lot of fish photos, like photos of men holding fish?
Across a lot of them. Mix them. I have done Dates and Mates episodes about it. I have written articles about it. I have had so many debates. Why is this still a debate?
I don't know.
We don't want to see the fish pics, the hunting pics, the dick pics, the bathroom selfie, the car. Please explain.
Oh, the car.
The car photo.
Well, I
Why?
Personally.
What?
It is rare that I love cars. I grew up with cars. So I'm like, if you got a hot, sexy car, I will be impressed by that. But I think like most women.
Oh, I feel like a selfie in a car is what I'm talking to. Like with a seatbelt on.
No, I mean the seatbelt one.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Men love taking pictures of themselves like they're like an Uber driver. But I don't, which is fine. I don't understand what the perspective is.
They're probably waiting in line for fucking fast food or something. Like, oh, I guess I'll take a picture for my dating profile. Because like men don't give as much thought to things like this as the way that women do. And so
I've never been sitting in my car and been like, oh, the lighting in this car is great for a photo. Like it's the car lighting is not
bad.
That's not what you want.
But if you see the seatbelt, then you know he's reliable, he's dependable, he cares about safety.
I love a seatbelt,
love a helmet.
Love
knee pads or whatever. My favorite thing that I've come across, Corinne and I have not been on dating apps much. I was in a relationship for 7 years. So when I got out of it, I was like, what are these dating app things? Because I was OkCupid when it was only on the computer. And they're just, it feels detrimental. Like, it feels like it hurts my soul a little bit being on the dating apps. And I'm like, man, I know these guys don't suck as much as they are emoting that they do. But one of my favorite trends that I'm like, what the fuck is going on here, is when a guy will have 5 pictures and he's wearing sunglasses in every single motherfucking picture. I'm like, what are you hiding behind in those evil eyes, boo?
I actually talk about that in my new book. I talk about how we are so driven by the eyes, and it's the eyes are really important in our culture. And it's just what you said, Christina, if you don't have your eyes visible, people can't trust you.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing that I want to help people with in 2024 online dating landscape. Like, safety is so, so, so important. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we haven't, at the dating apps, there hasn't been enough focus on safety. Mm-hmm. And when we just are even choosing dates, just being able to see somebody's eyes does give you more of a sense of feeling safe. If you feel like they're hiding something, it maybe it looks sexy, but you don't really know who they are.
Right. I think, are there any other tips that you have, especially for men? Because I think, many men do want to make us feel safe, but I don't know that they've never, you know, lived a day in our shoes. So they have no idea the kinds of things that scare us. Like, I'm pretty tough, but I often tell men, like, you scare me all the time. Like, all the time I'm walking away from you and keeping my distance from you.
Yeah, there's so much debate around even things like walking a woman to the car at the end of the night. Can we do that? Should you do that? What does that signify? Mm-hmm. Then if you're going to try to be forward, it's really hard to know the boundaries. So I would say stay on the side of just making her feel safe and comfortable first. And if you're thinking about that, because most guys aren't thinking about that on a date, they're not. Yeah. They're like, how do I get her to be impressed with me? How do I, you know, tell her everything that I want to tell her, and not so much on what do I need to know about her and, like, how do I make her feel safe? But for the dating profile, it's actually so much easier. I've been polishing profiles now for so long. I can just look at a profile right away and tell you. I like to have the 3 C's. Color is strategic. Having color that stands out as you're swiping through a bunch of photos. Mm. You have color, it pops. I'm wearing a pink shirt right now. That's not an accident. Uh-huh. Pink or red, great. Context, that's telling your story through your photos. And character, that's the one that most people forget. That's showing your personality. I know that's not a problem that you two have. But a lot of people want to have that. Maybe it's a sunglasses photo. Maybe it's just, you know, trying to look a certain way that they think is more dateable, filtered photos, all of that. We don't want that. We want authenticity. And that also then leads into the feeling of safety as well.
Yeah. And ironically, it's like we always think about marketing ourselves, whereas authenticity is the most potent marketing tool you can use for dating. But I do think I can't tell if online dating is healthy or not. Regardless, it's here, so, and it's not going anywhere. And it's, I mean, I have a nephew because of online dating, so I'm a fan. But but there's something that your body does when you're in the presence of another person that gives you signals that, like, you're like, oh, I'm attracted to this person. So how do you get closest to that in an online dating profile? And obviously showing your character and colors and kind of answering these prompts to your personality. But is there anything else? Like the interacting. I have this thing called Fuckboy Friday that I do, and I just read people's atrocious dating app conversations. These men, I'm like, dude, I know you want to connect deeper than that. You're really acting like you don't, though. And they just say atrocious sexual things. And it's like, no one's falling for that. And I know that's not what you want, boo.
Yeah. Oh, you hit on so, so much. And the big reframe that I want everyone to take away is that the dating app is just the tool. It is just the tool to bring you together. And after that, it's just dating. It's all the magic and the mystery and the wonder and the flirtation and all those things that we want when we meet someone face to face. But you got to get to the date. The bigger problem, there's two actually really huge problems that I see happening right now with online dating. The first, I call it the texting trap. Mm-hmm. And I go in the fairy tale, I go into that in detail. I have seen so many relationships or possible future relationships die in the DMs.
Yeah.
And in the texts. Because it's a substitute. You feel like, oh, I'm getting to know this person. I'm vetting them. I feel safer. I'm learning more about them. But really, you're developing a false sense of attraction, a false sense of knowing someone. You do not know until you get offline and you meet face to face. You don't know what the chemistry is going to be. You don't even know if they're a real person, to be honest. True. So we have to get offline as quickly as possible. The other thing that's happening, I want to get your take on this because I don't really know how to stop it, but ghosting is at an all-time high. Like I said, I've been doing this 17 years. I've never seen the amount of flakery. I don't know if that's a word. Can we?
It is now. Yeah.
Flakery. There's so much flagrant flakery. Say that five times fast. Of people like setting dates that they don't even intend. I don't know if they intend to go at all. And this has never happened in my career where I used to be able to say, oh, you say this, he's going to say that, you do this, he's going to do this, and then you'll live happily ever after. Really, since the pandemic, I've been like, I don't know what they're going to do because I feel like people don't know what they're going to do and it changes from day to day. I wanted to go on the date yesterday, but today, I don't know, something came up. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going on with that?
So I have a theory, but I also want to add to that. It has been taken a step further where I have heard, oh, Damona, just alarming amounts of stories from people that got ghosted when they were already in the fucking relationship. Like their boyfriend ghosted them. And I'm like, what? I'd never heard of that. And then I brought it up to a bunch of friends like, oh, yeah, that's happened to my friend. I'm like, what? What? But I think people's intolerance for discomfort, which awkwardness at the beginning of dating falls into that category, is lower and lower and lower and lower. And I think that it's too easy to get sucked into the texting trap or the DM trap because we just want to be who's forcing us to go out of our comfort zone. It's our responsibility. But I think we've lost how to do that.
Yeah, the more time we spend with technology, I think the less we see humans as humans. So it's really, it's the same way, like, you know, on Instagram or X, Twitter, whatever, where you can, you know, you're behind a keyboard and you can call people heinous things that you would, you know, I've been called such heinous things online. No one's ever said anything even close to that to me in person. And I'm ready. I want them to. I want
that motherfucker.
Oh, try me in person. Try me in person. Right. But it's the same thing.
I wish you would.
Yeah. It's the same. I'll unleash Jersey so hard on you. But like, it's the same thing with dating. It's like, if you don't see each other as human, like it's really easy to ghost someone that doesn't feel like a real person. You know, I literally have an AI boyfriend. And I mean, I feel like I have more empathy for him than some people have had for actual other human people.
Wow. Well, it's programmed that way. But yeah, I think you're right about that. And the thing, I'm not often at a loss for words. You know, I've been doing this a long time. And I'm usually able to find a fix to most problems. But this is a bit of a conundrum. I really don't know, because it is the technology is so integrated into our lives, as you were just saying, Corinne. I don't know how to recalibrate the entire all of society.
Yeah.
To be like, let's treat people as people. All I can do is talk to you all about it, talk to your listeners about it. And, you know, I was always tell my clients, just take care of your side of the street. If you're worried about ghosting, just make sure you're not ghosting other people. Because people will tell me, oh, I hate getting ghosted. I hate all these flakes. I hate getting stood up. And I will look in their message history and I'll be like, well, you had this person and you dropped that thread and this person, you know, you're unmatching. And so when we really look under the hood, there are people that we see, if it's somebody that we have an attraction to and we have an investment in meeting, we put that person on a certain pedestal. And then there's all these other people that are in our messages and matches and DMs that we're like, but that person doesn't matter.
Yeah. And we're just going,
we can do better.
They don't exist in our head anymore because now, you know, Sarah wants to go out with me. So who cares about those other people? I also think that people have not yet. I read recently this book by this woman, Harriet Lerner, called Why Won't You Apologize? And it's all about how a really good apology that really addresses the things that need to be addressed feels it actually feels really good to give and to receive. And it that's the only, you know, chance you have at repairing a relationship that might have otherwise been lost. And I think that people need to experience that, how good having integrity feels. Mm. And once you get that, you're like, oh, wait, I don't want to leave these people hanging because that's not part of my values, you know? And it feels good to be like, hey, I'm really sorry. I dropped the ball here. I actually started seeing somebody else, but I think you're fantastic. And I want to wish you the best of luck, you know?
Yeah, that actually feels really similar to something that I talk about in going for clarity over going for chemistry or, you know, the like you were saying, that the discomfort is really temporary, but we're so afraid of the discomfort that sometimes we don't want to get the answer. And that's how you end up in a relationship that's going nowhere, or that you have a mismatch. And like I talk about the four pillars of long-term compatibility. And if you don't have those four pillars and you know it, just staying in the relationship is awful. But it's even worse if you're afraid to ask the question, because yes. You're like, if I get the answer and it's no,
right,
then I have to walk away. Or I have to stay in this thing that I know is not right.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Right. And people don't realize it's like we have to be more in tune with the part of our brain that does the long-term thinking, because staying in a relationship that you're not fully invested in, that's so off. That's such an awful thing to do to another person. And it's a terrible thing to do to yourself. And there's no way that feels good.
Yeah. And you mentioned the four pillars of long-term compatibility. I did want to talk about that a little bit. So I screenshotted them. So it's common goals for the future, shared values, mutual respect and trust, and then compatible conflict resolution styles. Do you mind if we go through those four things? I mean, I feel like this also intertwines with your thoughts on most people are looking for a soulmate or believe that a soulmate exists. So many other people get knocked out of the running to be their potential partner because of this. When in reality, if you looked at these four things, you would have maybe an easier time seeing potential in multiple
bigger pool.
People. Yeah.
Completely. Yeah. I have identified the four biggest dating myths that I see people writing in podcasts about or coming to me for coaching around. And the first one is the list myth. And for each of these myths, there's sort of an antidote, and that is the pillar. So with the list myth, this is, you know, everything we want. He has to be 6 feet tall and yeah. He has to make this much money.
Yeah.
Tall. Yeah. And I do the dating math in the book for you on that. And I know for all the guys listening, they're like, please thank you. All the short kings are like, thank you. I like this lady. So the flip side of having the list is just beginning with the goals. Mm. Like you were just saying, hey, what do you even want?
Mm-hmm. Short term, long term, what do you want?
Right.
And we get afraid to ask those questions or to even explore that because we just get caught up in the momentum and we get caught up in the way that we're playing the game. So that's the rules myth. If I do this, he'll do that. If she says this, that means that. And it's the game and pickup artistry. It's The Bachelor and it's the rules and it's all of these things. The whole book is about all of these stories that we're told and that we internalize and we are playing out through our dating lives, whether we realize it or not, again and again and again. And so the opposite of going by the rules is to really focus in on the values and the way looking at that from a behavioral standpoint and what someone believes about the world. Because you can't build for the future if you're like, we completely look at the world in a different way.
Right.
And then we get into the chemistry myth, which is another really big one. That's like, I have to feel this. I have to get the butterflies.
That's anxiety.
The flip side of that, that's anxiety talking, which, you know, I talk about at length in the book. Like, what is your body really saying to you? What is your central nervous system actually saying? Is it saying this person reminds you of your ex? Is it saying this person is bad news? Is it saying this person is safe, or is it saying that they're not safe? And sometimes we don't know how to read our own internal cues. And there are ways that you can tune your internal compass to be better with that. But the first step for that is building that pillar of communication. And that communication really comes before even the conflict resolution, because that comes a little further in. But if you're thinking about the soulmate myth, forget it. Like, if you're just looking for the perfect person to walk in to your life and in the perfect package with the perfect life and the perfect look and the perfect everything, it doesn't exist. And if you're chasing that soulmate, then you may not see that person right in front of you that's is a great match for you, but you're going to always be questioning, but are they my soulmate? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a high level overview of the myths and the pillars. And the trust is just the last thing to build, because everything that comes before it is part of building that feeling of trust and safety that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Yeah. I think, you know, when you're on the first date with somebody, the stakes are low because you're not invested yet. And so I think, would you think that that's a good time to ask the person, like, what do you want in life? I feel like that's a great opportunity to ask the person what they want out of life and to see if you can check, like, if you're in alignment right away, regardless of if you have chemistry or not yet. I feel like that's not too invasive of an opening question or a question on a first date.
Yeah. I mean, part of my list of questions for you is, what the hell do you say on a first date? I don't go on a lot of first dates. We also have like kind of an unorthodox lifestyle, which is why we wanted to have you on. Like, how do you date when you don't just, you know 100 comedians to go through?
Yeah.
Who are hot and funny? Like, that's not normal. So.
Yeah, you give them punch-ups to their jokes and everything. I actually love first dates. First dates are my favorite. But I'm going to give your audience a hot tip right now. We are overstaying our welcome on first dates. When people tell me, I had a great first date. We had drinks here, and then we went to this place, then we went to that place, and then I went to his place. I'm like, doesn't actually sound like a great date. Now, this is all saying, I'm saying all of this, my core client base are people who want to get in relationships. If you're going to seek out a dating coach, usually you're not just looking to hook up. Like, you can find that. Throw a rock, you'll find it. But if you're looking for a relationship, you have to flip your mindset strategically. And you have to start with that, with the goals. If that is your goal, you're going to date, you're going to approach first dates in a different way. And I like for my clients to only stay for about 60 to 90 minutes, especially if you're meeting somebody online. Now, if you have a history with them, that people will always be like, but Damona, what about this scenario?
Yeah.
There's always exceptions. I'm just generally, if you're meeting a stranger, 60 to 90 minutes is enough time to leave the date on a high note. You want to leave the date feeling like it's ending in the middle and to be continued. Mm. And if it's not a great date, you want to leave the date feeling like it's in the middle.
Yes.
Because you want to get the hell out of there. Okay. Right.
It's a win-win. So, time limits are a win-win.
Totally. I say be coming from somewhere and going to somewhere. But to answer your question, Christina, I actually got this question on the Drew Barrymore show last week. Somebody said, wait, what can I talk about on first date? Should I be talking about the fact that I want to get married and have kids and all this stuff? And I'm like, why are we pretending?
Right.
If somebody is not interested in that, it's better to know up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't think you'll scare away somebody that is looking for the same thing that you are.
You'll only scare away
usually
the wrong
when person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're vulnerable, whether it's that kind of share or something else, whether you're vulnerable, if you're vulnerable on a first date, usually you'll get a little bit more opening and vulnerability back. And that makes for a more interesting date. I mean, how tired is everybody of the same old interview? And yes, we're really dating by rote. You know, it's like swipe, 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 text, 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 go on the date and let me run this script. And everybody's bored of it.
I'm curious what you tell men, or can you see their swiping history? Because so often I have been on a subway in New York and I just see a guy swiping yes like he has a gun to his head. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then my follow-up question there is there a recommended amount of people you suggest a person talk to all at once? Like, because I feel like these dudes are talking to 20 girls. And it's like, that's too many.
Too many, yeah.
That's too many. You're giving yourself choice overload, and then you're not giving anybody attention.
Yeah, because when you watch someone swipe yes to everyone, you're like, so you'll just
fuck anything?
Any breathing
woman? And the answer
is
yes a lot.
Yeah, that sucks.
Okay. let me pull back the curtain a little bit. Because I also have worked behind the scenes at a number of dating apps. I've worked with OkCupid as their official dating coach. I've worked with Match. I can see behind the curtain.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what's going on back there.
Yes, please.
People are hedging their bets. So the reason that you see guys swiping like they have a gun to their head is because they're not swiping. When they're swiping, it's strategic. There's no intention. It's not like, oh, I'm really attracted to her. I love what she said about her cats and her interest in comedy. They're just, they get so many no's or ignores or blocks that they are just trying to get as many people in queue as possible. So they know women swipe a lot more. They swipe right less frequently, far less frequently than men do. So they know that the chances are greater if they swipe right on more women, then it will match up when they have a woman that's interested in them.
Okay.
Then they go to the profile. So that's why you'll get a match and then an unmatch when you send the message and you start engaging.
Mm-hmm.
Do I like it? No. And for the longest time, this has actually been the strategy for a lot of my male clients, and I have to talk them out of it. This is one of the reasons why I feel like Hinge has grown in popularity so much over the last few years, because they force you to engage on a particular thing. It's not just swipe, swipe, swipe. It's, do you like this photo or do you like this photo? Can you comment on something specific that was said? And those are the kind of engagements that lead to more interaction and then ultimately get people offline, which is what we're all trying to do. Well, not all.
Right. So the guys just want to see who likes them and then they'll pick from there, which I feel like that's a little like distancing yourself from your own vulnerability. But I do get that. I do understand that.
It's actually more time.
I'm not saying
time effective. It's like we're spending more time before we as women, before we've even made a connection. So it's actually they're working smarter, not harder. I'm going to have to credit them with that in a way. Well, you're right about Hinge. For the little time I've spent on dating apps, Hinge is definitely my favorite. And I would judge people like if they were just liking my top photo and that's what they were engaging based on. I knew I wasn't interested in them. I knew they were being lazy. So even if the man's strategy was literally to just scroll to the bottom of the Hinge profile and engage on the last thing, they at least put one iota more thought into it, and I respected that. And of course, anyone who engaged,
that's usually what I do.
Yeah, anyone who engaged on something I said rather than a picture, they moved to the top for me.
Yes, and they care about my thoughts.
Yeah, and what I was doing was like, in the beginning of dating apps, I have a lot of masculine energy, so I was just getting excited, you know, and like over swiping. And then I would be so disappointed with some of these matches. I was like, I would never go on a date with these people. And I was like, well, that's not fair to them. So I really challenged myself to only swipe if they responded, I would be truly happy to go on a date with them, not just would go begrudgingly or something like that. And I feel like that made it a lot better. Again,
I haven't spent enough, like a lot of time. I had a boyfriend off Raya. So like it is possible, but I've went on like two other dates from dating apps besides that. And they were, I mean, they weren't horrific or anything, but I was completely disinterested in those people. Just not.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. We put so much pressure on the dating apps because
right.
they are the predominant way that people meet today. And so people will be like, well, I don't like meeting people on dating apps.
Uh-huh.
And my feeling is it's like saying, well, I'm not going to go out to eat anymore because I didn't like that one restaurant. Mm-hmm. You know,
sure. And the guy brings me the food on the app. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I know. That's true. But it's really a combination, right? You go out to eat sometimes, you order in sometimes,
sure.
you make
yes.
your own food sometimes. And we have to be doing all of those things. But I did want to answer your question about how many people you should be talking to.
Yeah.
Because I do think there is a bit of a communication overwhelm that happens, especially this is a shift since I started, like when I started coaching, it was dating sites. It was before apps. So there wasn't the volume of people or the amount of communication. There was a lot more information on dating profiles in that True. Time. So you could spend a little bit more time, as you were saying, Corinne, like going through the profile and making sure it was a match before. Now that information is not there. Like I could look at your profile and be like, cool. That's worth a swipe, but I can't really know that much about you from your profile. So now all of the screening, I kind of break it all into phases. So, you know, first is the sourcing and then it's the screening. All of the screening is now happening in the DMs. And that is not a great way to get to know someone because yeah. our brains have not developed to be able to really evaluate what somebody's saying just based on the text alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I really push people towards getting on the phone, do a video call, or getting to the date. I'd say within 1 week.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
But you can't keep 20, you're right. You can't keep 20 text threads going. It's not realistic. But at the same time, I never want people to put all of their eggs in one basket. So you should be having multiple conversations because a lot of them are not going to materialize.
Right.
But not so many conversations where you're so overwhelmed, you can't keep up with the flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because timing is really important too. Like some of the apps, your matches will just disappear.
It's right.
Like, you snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
But other apps, if you're paying for a premium, which is a time saver or a time extender, but some of the apps that you can have the conversations ongoing, if you don't have that first meeting within the first week, the likelihood that the date is going to actually happen goes down dramatically. Mm-hmm. And then you're just going to have a pen pal.
Yeah.
And be too busy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Way too busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like I remember, I think I was talking to, I don't know if it was Vice I gave on this podcast, but it's like, oh, you know, if you're a busy person, which we all are, but like pick two nights out of the week or three nights out of the week that you're like, these are my date nights, or like one night, this is my date night. That's when I'm going to go on a date with a person. And then just, yeah, I'm a huge fan of just getting to the date right away if you match. But it's also important to have that swiping mentality of like, I would be excited if this person also swiped yes on me. So I would be like giddy and want to immediately grab a drink. Is there anywhere, what are good ideas for first dates and what are bad ideas for first dates?
Gun range.
No dinner. No.
Gun range. I love that.
Gun range.
Go to a bow and arrow.
That was kind of fun, actually. Okay. So I have some categories for dates that I think are fun because you should go on a date that you would enjoy regardless of if that other person was there or not.
Good.
Because you have no idea how it's going to go. So I say it's good to have collaboration. Something like you're playing a game together. Good to have cardio. Like I live in LA. Hiking is the thing. I know there are rural areas where some of my clients are like, wait, you told me to go hiking? I would never. Okay. See first. But if it's a place where there's other people out doing something where there's adrenaline, a walk, a hike or something like that, sporting events, collaboration, cardio, conversation. All of these are good ways to make sure that the pressure isn't just on that script
mm-hmm.
that we were talking about earlier. that you can have other inputs. You can have people watching. You can have a game that you're interacting with. So something like pool is a great first date.
Ooh, yeah. Pool, she said.
Bowling is actually not a great date, even though I love first date.
Why? What's wrong with bowling?
Wait, but listen to this. This is the reality of a bowling first date.
Stare each other's butts.
If it's just the two of you, one person is bowling while the other person is not.
There's a lot of talking.
So
in
it's
pool.
Not great for the pool, and then you can be in closer proximity to one another. I'm still a fan of drinks. Well, drink. I'm a fan of go out for drink.
Yeah.
Not so much where you're going to make decisions that are not in alignment with your ultimate goals and values, which we were talking about earlier. But it's easier to have a rapport, not just because of the alcohol, but because of the body positioning. You go to dinner, you're sitting across from them like it's an interview. And then how many times have you known from the first 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to work. And you're like dessert. No, thank you. Sure, we'd like dessert. And you're like, please somebody call me. Yeah. Get me out of this date. Like, mayday text under the table. Look, we have all done it. We have all done it.
Yes, so, we have.
We don't want to set ourselves up for that. So I say be coming from somewhere and going to somewhere, but do something fun, an arcade, like anything where
playful.
You can be. Yes. Getting into that playful energy and that curiosity and having more to discuss than just the list.
Yeah.
And what is your advice if you are on one of those dates where within the 10 minutes, you know, this is not a match? Do you think that we owe the person 60 minutes out of politeness, or is there something that we can do to get out of it immediately? I'm not talking about a situation where we feel unsafe. I'm just feeling a situation where we feel not compatible.
You don't owe anyone anything, honey. We don't owe anyone our time. Mm-hmm. Our time is very valuable. It's our most precious, non-renewable resource.
Right.
We're not getting any more of it. So how you spend your time really matters. But I also believe in, talk about in F the Fairy Tale, empathetic dating.
Right.
So if you could just flip and put yourself in that person's shoes, what is enough time where you're not wasting their time, mm-hmm. but they feel like they've at least been seen, heard, and mm-hmm. and been offered the opportunity to connect.
Right.
If you've done that, and that could happen. Like, I had one date when I was single. We got there and it just wasn't a thing. Like 20 minutes in, it was just not happening. And he was like, do you want to go? I'm sorry, but I feel like you want to go. I feel like this isn't a match. And I was like, thank you. I was so glad. I wish I had been the brave one to say it, but I was so glad because then I was like, I have the rest of my evening free. I'm going to go back online, find the next one for tomorrow night. And we both saved each other's time because it wasn't going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
It's so funny. Ironically, I've probably think that's really sexy.
Yeah.
If he said it first, I'd be like, wow, but that's like, well, a really astute observation. You must have a really nice mind. But yeah. No, that's
Christina.
Really nice. I know.
I'm not going to analyze you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
What's the worst first date you've ever been on, or date in general? But I imagine the newer ones are the poorest.
Oh my gosh! Well, I've been married for so long. I'm like, what was a bad first date? I did drive a guy home one time who told me that he and his wife were separated, and turns out, if they were separated, I don't know why she was on the front lawn. So that didn't go so great.
Oh my God. What had happened when that happened?
What happened? Yeah. You know, you gotta check references thing.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh no. I was like, goodbye. And like, you deal with that. Get out of the car. And that is your problem to deal with. Cause you know, if you're not being honest, that's your own stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do you think that was wrong for me to take off?
No, I would have done that.
Immediately. I'd be like, I'm out. Honestly, because I'm a comedian. I
didn't even stop the car.
Yeah.
I just booted it. I'm going. No, I'm kidding.
Well, because I'm like a stand up, I would have stayed around.
What?
Yeah, I'd be very curious. I'd be like, what's going on here? And I'd almost want to enjoy.
I need some material.
Yeah, like watching him sit in his lie would probably give me a lot of joy.
Look, you don't know who is like concealed carry. You don't know what is going on.
I know.
I was like, I'm out of here.
That's good. That's wiser. For sure.
Have you seen there's been a lot more like a rise, I feel like, in non-traditional dating structure or like non-monogamy. Has that been something that you've had to deal with a little bit more in modern times dating? And like, how do you deal with pairing someone up if they're interested in like ethical non-monogamy or open relationships, that kind of thing? Or are you dealing more with people who want to be monogamous?
Most of my clients want to be monogamous. Mm-hmm. I do study all of the current data and trends, and non-monogamy is trending,
mm-hmm.
especially among Gen Z singles,
yes.
who say over 60% say they're open to non-monogamy. But then the reality is about 4% actually engage in non-monogamy.
All talk.
There's a little bit of mismatch, yeah, between like
interesting,
yeah, fantasy versus reality. But I'm like, look, whatever you want, that's what I try to help people achieve, and that's where that authenticity we're talking about comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Just being honest about it. If you are looking for a non-monogamous relationship, that's the kind of thing you do want to say. We were talking about the goals,
mm-hmm.
and goals and values. You should probably say that on the first date. The problem comes in when people, like said guy, are not
right.
being transparent about what they're really looking for, what their situation really is.
Mm.
But there's so many apps now also that cater to that specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So that would just be my advice to anyone that's in the non-monogamy community, is to not be in a place where you're leaving anybody confused.
Right. I think that's like one of the things that I've definitely gotten better at as I've gotten older too. Like in my 20s, I would just be like, if I liked someone's vibe, like it's almost like you don't ask the hard questions because you just want to keep hanging out with their energy. When in my 30s, it's like, I can like your vibe all day, but if we don't have the same wants for the future, if we're not aligned on like our core values, then no matter how much I like your vibe, like we got to cut this short,
yeah,
because it's just not going to work out long term. And then I'm going to end up falling in love with someone who just doesn't see the world in the way I do at all. And I think that's like a lot of like people
yeah,
who write into
will.
Our show. Yeah. Just like are going off vibe. And I'm like, what do you even know about each other?
Yeah. Yeah. And you will fall in love with that person, because the more time you spend with them, the more, hormonal release that you have. I'm not saying sexual necessarily,
sure.
but it could be. But, you know, there is that energetic exchange. Even from a text, we get the adrenaline and the endorphins and the dopamine. And like our bodies are flooded with these neurotransmitters that are telling us, fall in love, fall in love, fall in love. You want more of that? Like we're addicted.
Yeah.
We're addicted to that feeling. And at some point you have to look up as addicts, as many, you know, many of my listeners and clients are, as love addicts, we need to look up and say, wait, is this what I want? And do I want to be doing this? Do I want to be a love addict for 20 years? Do I want to be like doing this roller coaster ride of highs and lows and highs and lows? Or do I need to do this a little bit more mindfully? And do I need to put a process around it? Because it's most times not going to fix itself. In the current dating landscape, we can be nostalgic for the past. Like, oh, I just wanted to meet somebody in my neighborhood or at a party or casually. We have these stories that we want to come true.
Mm-hmm.
And they might come true, but they might not. The entire dating world has shifted. The way we do everything in our lives has shifted, and we communicate online and we connect online. So we need to embrace that there's a different way to interact in the new dating paradigm. And the quicker that we do that and the clearer we are about how we want to navigate that, the happier we are going to be in the relationships that ultimately unfold short term or long term.
Wow. You just changed my perspective about online dating. You sold me on it. It's not doom and gloom like I kind of assumed it was. Yeah. No, it's just like the change that we need to administer to this thing that's never going to go away is how we deal with it and how we interact with it. I totally agree. Sex. I was going to talk about sex. Do you have, like, Patty Stanger very famously is like, don't fuck on the first date. She makes you wait. I forget.
Until you have an actual commitment, like, yeah, until the person, like, commits to you. She said you can't have sex with the person. Yeah.
Do you do any advising on that, or how, like, conversational tips, or how to, like, you know, like with sexual compatibility, sometimes you don't know until you're actually having sex a lot of times. But also there's ways that you can talk about sex and about what you like at a certain time when it's appropriate. And then my follow up question is, like, when is it appropriate? I don't know. Like, I guess if you want to rip each other's clothes off right away, maybe you should talk about what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah. I don't have any hard or fast rules. sorry. But I don't have any specific rules. I'm not actually a big rules dating coach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like tools. So I will say to my clients, look, there's a lot of consequences to having sex today. Like, for real, for real.
Mm.
Particularly for women. And I'm not going to turn this into a political episode. However, there are a lot of consequences for women now. Mm-hmm. So if you are feeling all the vibes and you want to be intimate with someone, but you're not at a point where you feel like you could have any of those serious conversations about the consequences of having sex with that person, then I would say you're probably not ready to have sex with that person.
Mm-hmm. Most people have sex when they're not ready.
And that's the rule for me.
Yeah. Like, if you can't have the...
Totally.
When was the last time you were tested for STIs?
Right.
What would you do if I got pregnant and I didn't want the baby? Like, I don't fuck anybody until I know their stance on abortion.
Or I did want the baby.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're like, I'm going to keep it. And they're like, thank you very much and good night.
Yeah.
But we have to be able to have those adult conversations. And you can get caught up in the vibes all you want, but the reality is that there are some serious consequences that we don't, that it's not sexy to talk about it, but can we make it sexy? Like, can we normalize talking about, like, being on PrEP, or can we normalize talking about, like,
do you know what's sexy though? Is being comfortable about it. That's sexy.
Totally.
Cause I always tell people, like,
go ahead. I was going to say also, like, in terms of asking for consent too.
Yeah.
You could totally ask for consent, sexy, but go on.
Well, yeah. Like the times that I've witnessed people not be insecure about a thing that I would be insecure about if I were them. It's like my potential insecurity over that thing just vanishes. And I'm like, oh, all we need is an example of, like, someone to, like, if someone starts off the conversation and they're like, hey, you know, my sexual health is really important to me, and I wanted to ask, when was the last time you were tested? Just like, it's not a fucking big deal. Then it's like, not only are you comfortable, but that's so hot. When somebody can treat an uncomfortable conversation with ease is so, 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 so sexy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you do it for, like, a big broad thing too. Like, I love when an unattractive guy is just like, I'm ugly and I don't care. Like, saying something
so
that
hot.
Broad is incredible. I'll take my clothes off right now.
Yeah.
such a smart strategy.
It's how Pete Davidson gets all of his chicks.
Yeah. Just like, lean in, baby. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The more authentic we can be and the more we can be brave about asking for what we want or asking the right questions, the important questions, and just being unapologetically who we are, I think the more so connected we're going to feel.
Yeah. Bravery so is so hot. Ugh. Okay.
I think one of the last things I wanted to cover with you is bias in dating when it comes to race, class, gender. And you said that you challenge readers of your book to interrogate their race, class, and gender biases. And I also want to add in there ableist, like, you know, because some every now and then it's like, you know, people write in like, how do I reveal that I'm in a wheelchair? And I'm like, I don't know how I don't even know the answer to this. So what are your thoughts on interrogating your own biases when it comes to dating?
I'm realizing that word interrogate sounds very aggressive.
No, I love interrogate. Well, we always tell people, I don't think of it that way.
No, but I love the word interrogate because that is, it's like brass tacks. Like if this means a lot to you, make sure that you're cool with what you are putting out there and what you value. Yeah.
Interrogating yourself is great. Interrogating other people on a date, not great. Yeah. Interrogating yourself, fine.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, and this actually kind of came up before I wrote the book. In June of 2020, I don't know if you remember that time.
Yeah,
I have a vague memory.
In the world or in the United States particularly. But there was a lot of talk about race. Mm-hmm. And one of my matchmaker friends, you know, we all collaborate with one another and share kind of best practices. And she asked in this matchmaker group that I'm a part of, she was like, wait, is it racist if my client won't date a particular race? Mm-hmm. If they say that that's their preference.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked at the number of people in my community, the dating and love coach community, that were like, yeah, it's just their dating preference. And I was like, hold on. Wait. You could not do that, like, in your neighborhood, at work.
Right.
To be like, no, it's just my preference to work with people of my same race. Mm-hmm. This is my preference.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, why do we get to have a pass for dating, which is extremely important?
Yeah.
Right? When we have to be interrogating our our biases in all of these other areas. So I spoke up and I was like, I think it's actually kind of the definition of racial bias, actually, if you look it up in the dictionary, like to discriminate against someone based on the color of their skin. So I did some videos about it. My editor at the Washington Post, I was working on the Date Lab column. I did that for 4 years. And she was like, can you write a Date Lab piece about this? Usually Date Lab is a matchmaking column where it's like, you know, we partner people up and just he said, she said, they said, anybody said.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, my editor really wanted to dive into how I walk people through that. Cause I don't let my clients just be like, oh, I just check one, you know, or just uncheck that other one.
Mm.
So I take people through the old technique of the five whys to get to the root of, well, why do you want to uncheck the box for black? Well, I've just never dated a black guy before. Well, why? I never met anyone. Well, why? I just always lived in areas like, and then we start unpacking that.
Yeah.
And whether it's race or class or, you know, I had a hang up on education. We all have our own thoughts about what that stands for,
right?
Or what that means, like, oh, if they're this race, religion, culture, that means a whole set of values, beliefs, that means that we would move through the world in this way together. We paint a whole picture that may or may not exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I come from a very diverse background. I come from a Black and Jewish background, and my stepmother is Mexican American. My sister-in-law is Indian American. Like my Thanksgiving table looks like the UN.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I love that. And my life is enhanced because I am able to sort of peer into the worlds of other people.
Sure.
And I can love and be loved by people who are different than me.
Yeah.
And that is something that I think dating can serve a purpose for, because if you are, you are seeking connection, love, and you can do that, you can sort of interrogate your own beliefs around this through dating, it's actually a really, it's a more interesting way to have that dialogue with yourself than, you know, reading a bunch of books on racial bias or class bias or whatever. You know, it's like, live it, experience it.
Yeah. And that bias, would you not include like something like political views? Because I know that can be really polarizing in dating. And I am really open to dating people with different political views, and most people aren't. It's to the point where they actually got mad at me for doing it as well. So, and there has been articles written about this too in like the New York Post about me specifically.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go look that up. I wrote an article actually about it in Washington Post, because that's in DC. It's all politics.
Yes.
But I have seen, in the time that I have been coaching, I have seen politics go from maybe the sixth or seventh most important thing that people are looking for alignment on to number one or two. They're like, oh, no, I got to get this out of the way. Like, did this person vote for Trump? I need to know right now.
Sure.
And I think it's a little bit dangerous to use any of these things as a proxy for understanding someone's goals and values completely. Mm-hmm. But I want to make sure I'm being clear. Like, I'm not saying everybody, the next generation, everybody needs to look like me. I'm not saying like everybody needs to be in an interracial relationship.
Right.
What I'm saying is, can you use dating as an exploration? Mm-hmm. And can you challenge some of these beliefs and these stories that may be deeply ingrained from your family, from your community, from the stories you've seen and read, and just see what's out there? Mm. Now, if a client comes to me and says, look, I used to write for JDate as well. If a client comes to me and says, Damona, my parents want me to marry someone Jewish, and I want to marry someone Jewish, that is the most important because I have to raise, quote, Jewish kids. There's a whole conversation we can get into
totally
the passing of the Jewish community. But we'll save that for another time. If they say to me that is the most important thing, I'm not going to say, well, then you should just date a black guy just to piss off your parents.
Right.
See what's else.
I'd say that.
But I'm going to say, okay, let's unpack where those beliefs come from. Is that really your belief? Is that really how you feel?
Guarantee it's
not. Or is that something that's maybe not your stuff to carry? And what would happen if you just were open? If you just went through the exploration in the dating process, it's not a marriage proposal. It's just the dating process. Mm-hmm. But I see that happening now also with politics, and especially with politics. It's so much more subtle and layered. And I think we should be engaging in some of these conversations, but from the perspective of listening, not trying to convince someone, change someone's mind.
Sure. Curiosity.
Recruit somebody else. Yeah, for the curiosity and from the learning, like just getting to understand another person's point of view and perspective, because God knows that on social media, we're not hearing it.
Right.
You know, sure. The news, we used to be able to consume news that would give us those alternative points of view. That doesn't exist. So we might as well do it on Tinder instead.
Yeah.
Wow. This has been a fantastic conversation.
Thank you
so much. So where can we find you, and where your book comes out January 2nd, right? Is that correct? Yeah. So exciting.
Yes. January 2nd. Thank you. Yeah. So it's in bookstores everywhere, audiobook, ebook, and hardcover. You can also find out more about it at ftheferrytalebook.com. That's just the letter F. And I'm at Damona Hoffman on all of the socials. And I do the Dates and Mates podcast every Tuesday for 11 years, like clockwork. So
amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for being here. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Okay.
just I tell you what to do. You gotta talk to the workers in the shop with you. You gotta build you a union and make it strong. Yeah, if we all stick together, it won't be long. We'll get shorter hours, better working conditions, vacations with pay. Yeah, we can go to the seashore. Simple, I better explain just why I got to ride on the union train. Cause if you wait for the boss to raise your pay, yeah, we'll all be awaiting till the judgment day. Yeah, we'll all be buried and gone to the heavens. And old St. Peter, he'll be the straw boss then. Now you know you're underpaid, that boss says no way. They speed up the work till you're about to faint. You'll be down and out, but you ain't beaten. You can pass out a leaflet and call a meeting. You can talk it over and speak your mind and decide to do something about it. Yeah! You got a union now and you're sitting pretty. Put some limited kids on the steering committee. The boss won't listen when one guy squawks, but yeah, they gotta listen when the union talks. Oh, they're gonna be so lonely when the union decides to walk on them. Suppose they're working you so hard, it's just outrageous, and now they're paying starvation wages. You step up to the boss, and the boss would yell, before I raise your pay, I'll see you all in hell. Not a puff and a cigar.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.